From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we start with a live look inside Everbank Field. The U.S. Assure Club improvements are well underway. We're about 2 months away from completion.
Does the jackhammer stop before 2 months, or is it going to go for the full 2 months?
It might go longer than that just for you, Brian.
I got a headache.
It's been a loud day in the studio, but we've got a little bit of time here on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick with you. Plenty to get to today. A draft recap. Rookie impact. What kind of impact did the new guys make on the 2016 Jaguars? And we'll visit with CBSSports.com senior NFL writer Pete Prisco. What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
A little draft talk, huh?
Yeah, you know, why not?
Why not?
Win in Rome.
Yeah, well, we're pretty clever that way.
Been asked all week long if this is the best draft in Jaguars history. I said, well, hold on, you know, let's let them win some playoff games first. But I will say it reminds me a lot of the 96 draft, where they got a linebacker in the first round. Tony Bracken slid to them at the top of the second as their pass rush threat. And then Aaron Beasley, who people I don't think respect enough for the way that he played here for a number of years, was the third-round pick. And on every level, they had something that they could build around. And, you know, they went on a run over the next 4 or 5 years and won 5 playoff games. And, you know, that was a good draft. It was a really good draft. Probably the best draft in Jags history. So let's see if this one can win some playoff games first.
And what's impressive is if you take Dante Fowler and put him with this bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're talking about having, within a 13-month period, acquired what could be, and Brian's right, it's a could-be situation, what could be elite-level all-pro talent, because they're top five guys at all three levels of the defense, all 24, 23 years old. Very few teams ever get the opportunity, because of draft positioning, because of a guy falling, to have that situation. Now, odds are, if you look at history, odds are that it doesn't play out where all three guys are that elite. But there is a, when they're this talented, there is a chance, and most teams usually do not get this chance.
Is it bad form to pick your phone up on this show?
Yes.
Because I was going to show you a tweet. I don't know whether you guys saw a tweet. And Director of Broadcasting Patrick Cavanaugh is going to give me some grief for this, because I probably should have pointed it out to him so he could have put it up on the screen. But NFL.com tweeted out a slate with something about what an awesome Jaguars defense. They listed all the players, you know, Jack and Ramsey and Malik Jackson and Dante Fowler, and they put them all out, and I thought, okay, whoa, that's NFL.com. They don't pay attention to the Jaguars that much. And they're sending out this really well-done, you know, drawing of the Jaguars defense. I thought it was really interesting. It kind of it gives you the sense that it's not just hype here in Jacksonville or hope here in Jacksonville. It's a, wow, they really got something there, and they've done it quickly, because we were just talking about one of the worst defenses in the league mm-hmm. a few months ago. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find that.
They now, and we'll talk about impact in a minute. Mm-hmm. They now have the talent base around this roster to get significantly better. Guess what? It still depends on the quarterback. It still depends on some offensive growth. But I don't think anybody thinks that the defense is going to be a liability next year. I think it's still going to be better in 2017 when these guys mature and the core we're talking about has a chance to be impact guys. But I think the defense is going to be better. But there's enough talent on this roster now where you aren't going to feel going into games like there isn't a chance. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the case a couple years ago. That's where they are now. How far it develops, that's the storyline going forward.
It started this year with Jalen Ramsey, the number 5 overall selection. Dave Caldwell has been making the media rounds nationally, including on NFL Network yesterday, where he said Ramsey's the perfect addition.
Well, for us, he's a great scheme fit. He's got the length that we look for. He's got he's 210 pounds. He runs a 4.4. So for us and our scheme and what we look for, he's an ideal fit. And it was probably one of the easier decisions we've had here in our 3 years.
There you have Dave Caldwell yesterday on NFL Network. They couldn't, as he said there, it was an easy selection at that point. When Ramsey falls that far down to number 5, that kind of gets overshadowed with all the Jack stuff that happened in the second round. But that was a big deal, too, for him
at
5.
Yeah, and we spent 24 hours, it seemed, talking about Jack. And then even after that it was easy to forget that only the day before I had been writing that, hey, no way they get Jalen Ramsey. So it took a surprise pick in Bosa. It took what I still think could wind up being a questionable pick in Elliott with the Cowboys to get Ramsey to this spot. But, yeah, I'll bet it was an easy decision because they thought no way at the beginning of this process, and even 24 hours before the process actually started, they were going to get Jalen Ramsey. So, yeah, I bet it was easy.
You know,
hey, where's the card? Where do I sign
exactly
up?
Exactly, right.
They you called know, him in the first minute.
In,
right after,
in being in Chicago around all the media types, especially at the NFL draft, NFL Network draft luncheon, we were going through scenarios. You know, no way, no way, this is not going to happen. And the biggest no way was that Jalen Ramsey slid past four. I mean, there was no way, because I was asking, is there any way that somebody does something crazy here and the Jaguars just have him fall into their laps? No, no, no. Too talented, elite player, maybe the best player in the draft, never does. Well, you counter that no way with, is there any way Miles Jack slides all the way to 36? No, no, no. Someone will take him. He's too prolific of a talent that he's not, he is not going to slide beyond 24, 25. Someone there will take a chance on the value because they're a playoff team from year before. No chance. And then they get no chance and no chance. Well, there's no chance this isn't a great draft then.
So you're saying there was a chance.
There was a chance. There was a chance.
All right.
So the question I have for you, we'll get to this or that coming up in a minute. The bigger surprise pickup for the draft, is it Ramsey or is it Jack at 36?
Well, I think it's got to be Jack because no way was he going to fall that far. Obviously, the knee was the major reason he fell that far. Everybody knows that. But you would not have thought that you would have had a chance at that sort of prime talent. I've heard several draft analysts say it might wind up being the biggest steal ever in the draft. Now, well, that's a big reach, but hey, if Mel Kiper said it, right?
Well,
but
you know, at least it's worth mentioning.
If he's healthy 5 or 6 years and you get the kind of impact talent you think this kid is, then there's no question that's the biggest surprise. A week before, if you'd have told anybody, hey, you're getting Jack at 36 – yeah, they'd have laughed you out of the room. So,
well, look, you and I were both in Tallahassee for his workout, and I watched Dick LeBeau just nodding his head. I saw the smile on his face.
Sure.
And you could – no, there was no way he was getting – I didn't think he was getting past one, to be honest,
right
at that moment. So it's a huge surprise that he was sitting here.
That's what Caldwell said, too. He said it took two quarterbacks going,
yep,
and then a couple of weird things happening. There were people who mocked this. I was not one of them, but there were people who had Jalen Ramsey going to the Jaguars. It just didn't seem very likely, but I think what really happened was Joey Bosa, who everybody had sliding, was a better, more solid prospect than most people thought, so that helped a lot.
You would have been called a rosy-eyed optimist homer if you had put Ramsey at number 5.
Yeah, I've been called worse.
Yeah, well, here's that graphic, right? You see it? Well, I mean, I wish that I had
hey, live TV, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, but look, it's got Sheldon Day on there. There you go. See, hey, we can do things here on Jaguars.com. Look at that. That came from NFL.com. That wasn't a Jaguars creation.
Yeah.
That tells you what people are looking at and seeing here in Jacksonville.
My
and
wife sent me a photo of my dog. You
no,
want to
no,
that
no,
too?
No, no,
that,
no, no, can, no.
It's
no.
photo time.
Oh, is that where we're going?
Yeah. We could have a really interesting Jaguars.com live if this becomes a regular feature. In fact, it should. It should be a regular
feature. Is it
better
than this or that?
What's on your phone right now? I think it would be great stuff. I think we should look at it.
I don't think you want to know.
You can't play, JP.
Let's play a game we call this.
Or that. This or that.
Or that. The question today, which Jaguars rookie will have the most immediate impact on this roster?
Well, can I be the downer and say none? No, and I'm joking with that, but I think some has to be tempered with, I'm still skeptical about how much of a huge impact these guys have week 1, 2, 3. I think it's going to take maybe a little more time than people think for the high impact stuff. But I think by the end of the season, I have a tough time not going with Miles Jack as the guy who makes the biggest impact.
Okay, well, let me go back to 96 just to make the comparison, because if you recall, Kevin Hardy had an interception and a sack on opening day, his first
sure
game against the Steelers.
Yes.
But it was still November, right about the time that team turned the corner, that we were starting to see play after play after play from Hardy, Brackens, and Beasley. So,
and for Brackens, it was really the last month in the season where you started realizing this kid is making a difference that could be a difference in terms of standing.
So it could be November before you start to go, wow, consistently with some of these guys. Yeah. They're going to give you moments. They're too talented not to. I was going to say Miles Jack because I thought you were going to go Ramsey, and I'll stay with it for this very reason. The Jaguars have struggled for years to have anybody solidly cover a tight end. That's what he does best. Forget rushing the passer and blitzing and all that. If they line him up and let him cover the tight end, he will have an immediate impact.
Yep.
Yeah. That would be pretty nice.
Yeah.
To see.
Oh, it'd be really nice.
I think you wrote this the other day. You have to temper it a little bit because they are all still rookies and there's still a little bit of a curve.
Well, and
no matter how high they're
drafted. I think Dave mentioned this on NFL Network yesterday. Dave Caldwell, if you're depending on rookies, you're in trouble. So are they going to move the needle in an incredible way? Are they going to be the difference between 6-10 and 10-6? That difference to me is going to come from the defense being better overall, guys like Malik Jackson, Deshaun Gibson, and it's going to come from offense getting better and more efficient. That stuff for next year is going to be about other things. For 2017, for 2018, sure. 19, 20, can this turn into a dominant, scary-type defense? That's where this draft, it's the foundation. It's the things that could make this defense great. Great, I don't think, happens in 2016, but because of this draft, it sure could happen down the road.
You're right, and Amukamara and Gibson and Malik Jackson up front, the talent is so prolific for Ramsey and Jack that they'll just have to make a play here and there early
right.
to be seen. The dominance obviously grows over time if they are what we think they are.
You'll get to see these guys at Everbank Field if you get season tickets in 2016. The great home schedule starts with the Green Bay Packers. Continues with the Ravens, the Raiders, the Texans, Broncos, Vikings, and Titans. Of course, the Colts game is over in London this year. Call now, 633-2000, or visit jaguars.com/tickets. I have a feeling Pete Prisco might be at a few Jaguars games this year. CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist joins us over the phone right now. What's up, Pete?
What's up, fellas? How are you?
Oh, you know. Post-draft euphoria continues around Everbank Field.
We just can't keep John down. He's just over
the
top.
He's fired up, Pete.
Well, they should be fired up. I mean, they're building something there, and they're building it the right way. They're building it through the foundation of the draft, although they supplemented it with good free agents, young free agents. And they should be excited about what they're doing over there. And you know me, I'd kill them if I didn't think they made good moves. Like I killed them for the Chris Ivory move because, you know, I never believe in signing running backs or signing a punter. But I think Dave Caldwell's done a fantastic job this offseason.
Pete, talk about the last, and we talked a little while back about the last three draft classes, the talent level in those classes, and maybe how it shapes up against the rest of the league in terms of what they've put on the field in terms of young talent. I'm talking Bortles and Robinson and Fowler and Jack and Ramsey. Now, it seems like this has a chance to be a very talented team in a year or so on the field producing.
Young. It's a young group, and that's where you want to build it, through the draft. You know, look, the first year, the draft, not so good. Let's be honest about it. It wasn't very good. You know, Jokel, for all the crap he takes, he's not nearly as bad as people think he is, but he's not worth that pick number two overall. But you go back and you look at the first round of that draft, that thing was a disaster. Me personally, and I said it all along, I would have taken Ziggy Ansah. But, you know, they were concerned. There was concern about people wondering, you know, how old he was and could you take the chance on a project and all that. So I get it. I understand why the Jaguars didn't take him. I would have taken him. But that draft stunk all the way around. I mean, it was not a good look at the top ten. It's pathetic. And so I think you get a little bit of a pass for that. Cyprian hasn't quite worked out, but he's got another year to prove that he can. And, you know, that's the other thing with Jokel. Everybody's – Jokel's gone. He's gone. No, he's not. He's just not getting his option picked up. If he goes out and plays really well and ends up being the starter, they'll come to him in November or whatever, October, and say, hey, look, Luke, we want to bring you back. How about, this deal? It's just significantly less money than what he was making if he was the option year. So to me, it makes all the sense in the world to not exercise the option. That class wasn't good all the way around. It was a bad one in Jacksonville, but they've made amends for it. I mean, they drafted a quarterback who puts them on a place where you can be sustainable in terms of success, and that's the most important thing. And they've kind of put that draft behind them and moved forward with three good ones, I think.
You know, Pete, beyond the big three, you know, the first three rounds of last weekend's draft, which of the next players catches your interest most as it fits in Gus's defense?
After the first, because the third one really catches my eye.
Well, yeah, me too. And he was here, and I got the chance to sit with him, and I really saw that. But I'm wondering if it's the pass rusher, Tyrone Holmes, or Sheldon Day. And Day is getting a lot of attention nationally now, you know, based on the way that he played at Notre Dame his senior year.
Yeah, I think Day is a poor man's Aaron Donald. And you know, that's to try and compare somebody to that player is that's a high comparison. He's not that, but he plays that way. And that's what you like in him. I mean, gets up the field, penetrates, tough, athletic. You remember when Donald came out, they said he was too small, and that was the knock on Sheldon Day when he came out, that he was too small. To me, he's a darn good football player. And what it does, it gives him some flexibility for the future. I mean, everybody in the building loves St. Derek Marks. They hope he comes back and he's the same guy. I know you guys all do, too. But, you know, there's always the possibility that he's not. Now, if he doesn't, then you've drafted somebody that can step in there and replace him. I like Day. The kid from Montana, a lot of people like him. I haven't watched him on tape yet, but I'm going to go back and do that. The kid from Maryland, and you guys say his name better than I do. But
Yannick Ngakoue.
I mean, he was on my better-than team, and that's usually a list I put together every year of guys I like better than the scouts. And I was watching the defensive back, Sean Davis, who went to the Steelers in the second round, and I really like him. And I kept looking at number seven, making all these plays, number seven. I went back, got more tape. I go, number seven, look at him. You know, against Conklin, up the field, blew past him. I mean, this kid has pass rush ability. And you know what I like about him, too? Today, I guess there was something about the new-look Jaguars defense, and they didn't have him on there. And on Twitter, he got angry about it. I like that. I like that about a kid.
That was the graphic that I told you about.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's all coming back full circle.
It does.
Pete Prisco with us, CBSSports.com senior NFL writer and co-host of Jaguars Monday Radio during the season. What is the – is it playoff run or bust now, Pete?
Well, it depends. I mean, what happens if Bortles got hurt, God forbid? I mean, you know, you can't just say, you know, matter-of-factly like that. But I think they got to be in the mix. I don't think there's any question about that. They have to be in the mix. If Bortles plays the entire season, you don't have to get hit with a big bunch of injuries, then I think they got to be pushing for it in late in the season. I mean, this team is talented. The offense, you know, you look around the offense and you go, okay, Linder's going to play center, by the way. Let's get that out of the way. Everybody keeps talking about different options there at center. He will be the center, and they want him to be the center. And so then you go to the left side, and I think the loser of the left tackle battle ends up being the left guard, whether it's Beecham or Joko. And everybody goes, well, Joko can't play left guard. Why? Why can't he? And I heard Ryan O'Halloran saying today on one of those shows, he's too tall. Alex Boone was 6'7". He's 6'7", he plays guard. If you look at back in the day, Kevin Gogan was a 6'7 guy who played guard. He's not too tall to play play guard. And then there's the old, well, is he physical enough? Joko's problems have been when guy gets air between him and the pass rusher, and then he can bull rush him. And that's when he has problems. He's pretty good in the run game, and when he's got somebody physical opposite him, across from him, he's not bad in that either. So I think he could move inside the guard if he had to. Beecham is built like a guard. And I know there's talk that Kelvin Beecham says he doesn't want to play guard. Look, he's under contract. He'll play guard if they tell him to play guard. And he's built like a guard. So I think that'll be the left side, and I think the right side will be Cannon and Parnell, and then Linder will be the center.
One thing you mentioned earlier, Pete, that we've discussed off-air, and I'd like you to sort of elaborate on it, the fact that this team got Blake Bortles at number three a couple years back and didn't trade anything to do that, meaning they gave up no other equity to get it, they didn't have to give up a draft, they didn't have to give up five draft picks. Big picture-wise, how significant is that for the foundation of the franchise?
Yeah, and you know, like these other teams have all moved up, the Rams and the Eagles, and they've given away a lot of draft picks to go do it. And if Carson Wentz and Jared Goff end up being Blake Bortles, then more power to them. They made the right move. But if they don't, then you've mortgaged your future. And Jacksonville didn't have to mortgage the future to go get their quarterback. And when they picked Bortles, everybody killed them for it. And looking back on it, the Texans should have taken Bortles. I mean, they would have saved themselves a whole lot of money because they just went and spent $18 million on Brock Osweiler. So to me, that's the foundation. You get that position, you solve that position, and you have sustainable success. If you don't, you're going to have problems. And I'm going to go back to the Super Bowl champs, the Broncos. The Broncos are built right now with that defense and the way they have the offensive line rebuilt a little bit. They can run the ball. They have good receivers. They're built to win for the long haul. The problem is they don't have the quarterback to win for the long haul. So they might have the step-back season unless everything goes perfectly the right way in terms of turnovers, fumbles. And Von Miller has 25 sacks and Ware gets 15 and they get after the and Shane Ray emerges. Then all of a sudden, you know, they're going to have problems because they have Mark Sanchez at quarterback. In Jacksonville, they have Blake Bortles. They have long-term viability, and that's the most important thing.
Look, I know the Texans won the division last year, Pete, because their defense was so dominant. But the Colts have been the class of the division. They've had that quarterback in Andrew Luck that everyone has genuflected in front of, and he's a good one. I get it. Are they still the class of the division because of their quarterback, or have the other teams found a way to climb closer to them in this last draft and free agency period?
Well, he's the best quarterback. And if you, you know, we had this debate with, we had DJ Williams, the linebacker, John Beeson with us, and Kirk Morrison at our draft show. And we had this debate who the best quarterback in the division is and rank them. And it's Andrew Luck, and then it's Blake Bortles, and then it's, you know, probably Mariota and Osweiler. So, yeah, I think with that, you always have a guy who can, you know, if you're the best quarterback, you're going to be able to lift your team. Having said that, I think he cured a lot of ills over the last couple of years. And last year, they kind of got exposed a little bit, and then he got hurt, and they really got exposed. But what they did well this draft, they had a good draft too. I mean, if you go up and down the division, all those teams, I didn't like Tennessee's draft all that much, but I like the other three drafts a lot. I think they had to get the center. They were weak in the middle. That's important when you have a good quarterback. I think they addressed other spots as well. But now you got harmony in the building. And you could talk all you want that didn't matter last year, but it mattered. Believe me, I was there in training camp. I know the tension between Pagano and Ryan Grigson. And then I talked to Chuck at the owners' meetings, and they've seemed to kind of, you know, fix their ways and let the egos get kicked out the window for a while because they know that they got a great situation there. You have that quarterback. Why would you ever want to leave it? And so they'll be in the mix. It's going to be a great division this year in terms of competition because I think the Jaguars are really improved. I think the Colts will be better. I think the Texans will be better, but they got a brutal schedule because they played a first-place schedule.
Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com senior NFL writer, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. We always appreciate it, Pete, and I'm sure we'll see you around here soon.
I'll be there Friday, actually.
For a rookie camp. Oh, no camp, but rookie orientation this year.
Pete, right?
We'll see you Friday.
Pete, thanks, buddy.
You got it.
There he goes. Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. Hey, draft recap show. There we have it.
Yeah, pretty good.
Not bad. Yeah. Maybe we'll talk more draft come rookie orientation.
Let's just talk drafts until the regular season starts.
How about when's the first 2017 mock coming from you, John?
It's a while. It's going to be a while.
Our thanks to Pete Prisco. Thanks to you guys. Thanks to you guys. And thanks to you for watching. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick, and this is Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank.